This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is a special edition of the program, bringing you a debate between the candidates for McLean County Clerk. The election is just over a month away. Joining us at Heartland Community College are the candidates, incumbent Republican Kathy Michael and Democratic challenger Nikita Richards. Also joining us for this live broadcast is our audience. Thanks to everyone for attending this forum. This debate will feature questions developed by GLT News with public input from those submitted at WGLT.org. There will also be time for opening and closing statements and for responses or rebuttals by the opposing candidates. This forum is co-sponsored by the McLean County League of Women Voters and Heartland Community College. The League's Becky Gropp and Becky Hines will also serve as our timekeepers. We've determined the order by drawing numbers and with the lowest number going first, and after that, rotating among candidates. We will ask as many questions as time permits during this forum. Because this is live radio with a hard end time, candidates may have an abbreviated but equal amount of time to answer the last question. As moderator, I will call on candidates to make short clarifying comments and pose follow-up questions as needed. That brings us to our opening statements by Nikita Richards, who drew the lowest number. You have 3 minutes for your opening statement.
Thank you, Charlie. Good evening to everyone. It is truly an honor to be here, to have the opportunity to share with you my plans for this great county. My name is Nikita Richards, and I'm running to ensure that everyone who is eligible to vote in our county enjoys a fair, impartial, and efficient election process. This includes previously disenfranchised groups and our currently underserved rural communities. As clerk, I will focus on improving processes, reducing financial waste, and being responsive to my constituents' needs. I understand that it can be difficult to access an office that closes at 4:30 p.m. when many of our community members don't clock out until 5 p.m. I understand that it can be difficult to access resources in McLean County, especially the rural parts of McLean County that lack access to internet and reliable transportation. These are all barriers to participating in early voting, and possibly these individuals would find it difficult to partake in services like obtaining vital records. You deserve an inclusive and innovative clerk who plans to provide our rural areas with satellite early voting locations, along with a mobile vital records program. A clerk who has all of McLean County in mind and not just a privileged few. I am a moderate and fiscally conservative candidate who is proud to have a record as a dedicated public servant in McLean County. I am running to bring positive change and new ideas to an office with a history of nepotism and mismanagement. So, a little bit more about me. Like so many others in our community, I grew up in Chicago and came here to attend Illinois State University. I loved it so much that I made it my home, and I've been here for 16-plus amazing years. My passion for civic engagement was inspired by my family. I am blessed to have two moms, one who brought me into this world, equipped me with the tools to navigate life's changes, and helped me to survive the challenges of growing up in inner city Chicago, and another who came along just when I needed her the most. She taught me that there was more to life than just surviving. She showed me that one committed person truly can make a difference. Like my dad, I joined the United States Navy after high school. Dad told me that serving our country not only gave him time to grow up, but instilled in him a work ethic and a sense of commitment and responsibility that only those who have served can understand. I understand. I would bring these hard-won lessons from my Navy career to this position, as well as experience as a clerk for Bloomington's Administrative Court, employment coordinator for the City of Bloomington, board member of McLean County Human Service Council, and staff liaison for the Bloomington Fire and Police Commission, just to name a few. I have served with integrity and efficiency in all of these roles, and I would do the same as your county clerk. I would like to thank my opponent, Kathy, for joining me. I would also like to thank my beautiful daughter, my family, campaign team, and my dedicated volunteers for your unwavering support. Thank you.
And Kathy Michael, your turn. You have 3 minutes.
I'm Kathy Michael, your county clerk. I've been your clerk for nearly 8 years, and I'm seeking re-election for my third term. Thank you, League of Women Voters and WGLT, for hosting. Special thanks to Heartland Community College, which is also the location of our newest polling place, and they do a fantastic job. A little personal background to those of you who don't know me well. When my father returned home to mom after serving in World War II, he began farming in Money Creek Township, which is just west of Lexington, where I was raised. When my husband came home from Vietnam, I was a stay-at-home mom with our two children, David and Cindy. I started my own business, Supermaid's Cleaning Service, when I was 25 years old, with one customer and one employee, myself, and I sold it 10 years later with over 100 customers and over 13 employees. I moved to Chicago, where I worked at the Chicago Board of Trade after obtaining my Series 3 license. The death of my son brought me back home to family in McLean County, where I began working for then-state treasurer, the late Judy Bartopinka, who was a great boss, where I worked in the financial division serving 15 counties. In 2010, I was elected McLean County Clerk. For 8 years, there has never been an attack on me, my staff, or our office until now from my opponent. For 8 years and 13 elections, there have never been any filed complaints by anyone regarding voter suppression or suggesting discrimination or unethical behavior until now from my opponent. My opponent is unfortunately following a national mantra that ascribes to a radical view of campaigning, creating conflict where none existed before, and character assassination to win at any cost. I'm running for re-election because I love my job, I love my staff, and the hundreds of election judges, many of whom are like family. I want to continue to work to maintain the respect, customer service, and integrity we have established. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions.
You're listening to a special Sound Ideas and a debate among the candidates for McLean County Clerk live from Heartland Community College. Ideas for questions for tonight's forum were submitted at WGLT.org. As agreed, each candidate will have up to 90 seconds to answer questions with a one-minute rebuttal or response if desired after each candidate has had an opportunity to answer the initial question. Follow-up questions from me carry a 30-second time limit. A reminder to the audience, please refrain from applause until the end to allow as many questions to be asked as possible. Here's a table setter for the first question. Describe your vision for the clerk's office in the next 4 years and changes or improvements you would make to existing services. Kathy Michael, you go first.
Well, we'll just continue on as we've done for the last 8 years. We've got a very established reputation for the progress we've made in the office, the money savings. We're always looking to cut costs. So I think we will always continue along that line, keeping up with technology. We save, for example, $17,000 a year, no offense to our printed media, but by reducing printing costs, by going to an insert for our elections, down from $20,000 a year down to almost $4,000. So we'll continue to look for reductions like that. And just continue, especially with the cybersecurity now that we're going through. We go through daily alerts with that, and we're going to continue improving and checking with our administration, seeing how much we have in the budget. But always keeping taxpayer costs in mind, plus very good service, as we have proven in the last 8 years.
And Nikita Richards.
Unlike my opponent, I actually think it's time out for the status quo. I'm looking forward to bringing innovation and inclusion to the clerk's office. Some of the few ideas that I have in mind are implementing the Voter Information Protection Program, as well as the Mobile Vital Records Program to our rural communities, along with a program that I think will be well receptive, as I've talked to many, many rural community members, and that is bringing early satellite voting stations to those small communities. So those are just a few changes that I would like to implement, and I look forward to the opportunity, Charlie.
Okay. Does either side desire a rebuttal?
No.
Okay. I'd like to say something.
Go ahead.
On the mobile vitals records, it's very expensive. We did a survey on that. We surveyed all the churches, the townships, the mayors, and only two responded that they felt they had a need, so we outreached to them. What we found was there's no need to increase taxpayer dollars for that because they all work with their communities, their churches, their organizations, and they know to contact our office. If they have any kind of emergency situation, I will drive out or my staff drives out there personally to take care of any of their needs.
And Nikita Richards, do you want a one-minute rebuttal?
I've actually surveyed a fair share of technical people in the industry and am planning to work with our local community colleges and universities to reduce the cost of such an implementation, Charlie.
The office of county clerk dates from 1818, when it was titled Clerk of the County Commissioner's Court. The duties of the office have changed a lot over time. At various points, county clerks have filled roles now exercised by circuit clerks and assessors, and even maintained the jury system. They have licensed professions, taverns, and ferries, awarded animal bounties, and bonded free blacks, just to name a few things over the two centuries of Illinois statehood. What would you like to see county clerks do that they are not now doing? And Nikita, you are first this time.
One of the most important concerns that I have is voter information protection. And so the first thing that I would like to see is to have the county clerk's office be more inclusive when it comes to protecting and more proactive when it comes to protecting voter information. I truly am looking forward to working with our community partners to make these implementations. Another would be to see or consider how we could partner with these community organizations on including ADA accessible surveys in the clerk's office. Right now, the clerk's office has not participated in an ADA accessible survey, but the Bloomington Election Commission has. Accessibility is so very important. Our website right now is very cumbersome and difficult for people to navigate, and so I'll be looking to make that particular change as I partner with the community members in order to make our website and our further communications accessible.
And Kathy, you in your opener, you mentioned increases in efficiencies. How about increases in services?
Well, I don't want to say we're perfect because nobody is. We can always have room for improvement. You know, we were cut a staff member last year, and we're really short-staffed. And so the only thing I would like to recommend and take to the board is could we have one staff member back? But we make do with what we have. And so I think we're just always looking for innovative ways to save money, look to see what other people are doing, and then we work with our IT department and our county board, and we get it done. One thing, if I correct my opponent here, which shows her lack of knowledge on a lot of issues, because she's new to this, I understand that. But the ADA survey, what she said was incorrect. We, of course, do that by law every 2 years, just as BEC does. It's the law. All of our places are ADA accessible, and it's done every 2 years by law.
Any rebuttal desired?
Yes. So just because you've been in office for 8 years doesn't mean that you've done everything right or that you're doing them well. In fact, that's actually the opposite, and I will like to correct my opponent. There has not been an ADA survey done yet by LifeSeals. However, Bloomington Election Commission has had theirs completed.
And Kathy?
We just did our ADA accessible survey by state laws to the State Board of Elections, so you're incorrect, young lady.
Please exercise civility. I have one follow-up here, a 30-second follow-up. Let's start with Kathy on that, according to the order of play. What would you like to see the county clerk's office drop that you are doing now?
That's a good question, Charlie. We like all the things that we do. I can't see dropping anything. We're assigned to do things by administration. We do them well, and I don't see anything that we would like to drop or that we would need to drop to continue to serve our customers well.
And Nikita, the follow-up for you is, what do you think the clerk's office should drop in terms of service?
Perhaps we could restructure our genealogy division. There could be some cost savings there. But I also would like to see, in regards to polling place staffing, there would be an opportunity for us to take a look and restructure there. I believe that it would be important to better forecast better forecast voter turnout. And so perhaps we can take a look at how we're doing that. But I know the question's asking about deductions are dropping, so I'll wait and save that portion until you get to there.
Fresh question. This is Sound Ideas and a debate between Kathy Michael and Nikita Richards, the candidates for McLean County Clerk. This race has had a surprising amount of attention and engagement this fall. There is this little referendum on the ballot in Bloomington to do away with the Bloomington Election Commission. That would throw the duties of election administration in the city to the county clerk's office. Please tell us pro or con and why on this one. Nikita Richards, you have the first shot at that.
Thank you, Charlie. One of the reasons we need a nonpartisan election body is because of the extreme partisanship that my opponent has engaged in for the last 8 years. This is demonstrated most recently by her laptop and desktop history from May to July 2018. Did you know that she browsed campaign yard signs on the dollar of our constituents and researched my campaign disclosures for her county-owned laptop? If the BEC is dissolved, then I strongly believe that it should be run by an independent countywide election commission whose sole purpose would be to protect and carry out one of the most vital civil rights of our democracy. In addition, consolidation would bring about a solution to the confusion and inefficiency of having two bureaucracies to carry out this responsibility. On September 29, 2017, the League of Women Voters of McLean County wrote a letter in support for a single countywide election commission to the editor. I also believe that our election should be professionally and independently run, which is how the Bloomington Election Commission is currently operated. Look no further than the difference in information that is shared on each website to see the contrast between a professionally operated election commission and a partisan operated commission. The BEC has dynamic and searchable data which is available to voters and candidates, while the clerk's posts are static PDF documents that are not searchable and are very difficult to interact with. The choice is yours.
And Kathy Michael, 90 seconds, pro or con on the Bloomington referendum?
Well, on the referendum, my state's attorney suggests as an elected official that I don't take a particular stand on that. But I have said that I was very glad to see that the voters got an opportunity to make that choice. That was always my biggest concern, where the Democratic Party tried to stop that from happening, and I never quite understood that. So I was very happy to see it so that the voters can have a chance to say, we like it the way it is, or let's move it to save money into the county clerk's office. If that happens, we can do it, because you're our bosses. You tell us to do it, we're going to save money. And just like when the recording office was moved into ours by the voters, we made it happen because we were told to do so by you, the voters, and that's what I like to see. Regarding the other kerfuffle that's going on with all our different Facebook pages and ethics and things like that, just to make something clear, we buy yard signs for our office. You can come in and see them, so we're always searching for pricing on that. And you're wrong about our website. Everything is searchable.
All right. Let's go to rebuttals on that, but I should let you know that I do contemplate a question on the web usage issue later on. We're going to stick with the BEC issue for the next couple of questions, but is there a desired rebuttal?
No, Charlie.
No, thank you. No,
okay.
Thanks.
All right. At WGLT.org, Tim Mitchell of Bloomington suggested that the average cost per voter for the BEC is about $10 per registered voter, according to the BEC, and a budget and a review of the county budget for the county clerk shows an approximate cost of $12 per voter for the elections division. I verified that this afternoon, although that is a snapshot taken from June. Both those numbers tend to decline as voter registration rises closer to elections. It's a decent average, though, $10 versus $12 per voter. So Mitchell says if the county clerk's office were to assume all responsibilities for elections in the county, the cost per voter difference would seem to result in an increased cost of $96,000. It's not quite that simple because of equipment differences and staffing efficiencies that might or might not develop. What is your best estimate of the costs before and after and one-time costs to standardize all equipment? And we'll start with Kathy.
Well, first of all, we don't have to standardize all equipment. If this were to happen, things would remain just as they are. You use the equipment that Bloomington has, judges are trained, and the same for the county. So there's no additional cost there. As far as cost estimates, I'm not comfortable with your numbers, no offense, because they're not really... I'd like to see some more figures on that and analysis. But even at, let's say, $96,000, and those figures are correct, that's where you start crunching numbers with administration. That's where you start looking at staffing, and you look at other ways to save money, which our office has always done over the years to try to make up for any extra costs. There may be extra costs. To me, there would be some savings because there would be some staff reductions, or not. We just don't know that for sure. But again, that's for the voters to look at and to decide and to understand that administration has a budget to look at, and so do we. And if it starts getting out of hand, we start seeing where can we go from here to pay for this and things like that.
And Nikita Richards.
I believe the last numbers that I saw was approximately $66 million to overhaul the replacement or upgrading of our election equipment. I do find it interesting that the BEC was able to upgrade their electronic machines while the county clerk's office has not. I will just make this last statement here regarding the budget, but I wanted to make sure that voters understood that I will be sure to spend every dollar wisely, and I'm willing to advocate at the state level for resources that our county is owed and deserves. County election equipment is almost 17 years old. Could you imagine if your computer or your cell phone had not been upgraded or updated in that long? And right now, the upgrading is not included in our five-year budget plan. This means that the equipment will be approximately 22 years old. That's a danger there. The state of Illinois received $13.9 million to safeguard our elections and upgrade equipment, and I will properly allocate HAVA funds, not use these funds to decorate office spaces or line the pockets of my business affiliates. This is an important job, but there is no reason that we should pay county clerks a six-figure salary when families in our community are struggling to pay bills. As I have always have and I will always do, I am advocating for a reduction in my salary to help our county budget.
1 minute responses are available. Kathy, do you want one?
Those are false scare tactics about our equipment, and it's easily proven. We just met with our vendor who had good news for us. We're not going to go out and spend $500,000 of taxpayer dollars when we don't need to. It's just like my Honda, which is 10 years old. It works great because I get new parts for it when I need to. Greatly reduced cost than a Lamborghini, perhaps, that I would like. And so we save money from that, and we get it from our GBS vendor, says, we have good news for you. We thought we were going to get a sales pitch. Your equipment's fine. Let's wait till we see all these changes in legislation to see what else is going to change and what new equipment jurisdictions may have to pay. There's no sense in spending that money now. We don't need to.
And Nikita Richards, do you desire a follow-up?
No, I've said enough.
Okay. I have a follow-up, 30-second follow-up. The League of Women Voters did a study some years ago that argued the most efficient way to go and the best good government move would be to have a county-wide election commission, not elections run by county clerks. It allows minority political representation on the election body oversight board and removes any potential criticism from having someone count their own ballots. You are both running for that elected office. In 30 seconds, what do you think of the idea of a countywide election commission? And we'll start with Kathy.
If that were a good idea and it worked, wouldn't everybody be doing it? We have 102 counties in the state of Illinois. 95 of those counties, elections are run by the county clerk, Democrats and Republicans. You never hear much, despite of all the things that go on in Illinois, about bad things happening in elections when 95 of them are handled by the county clerk's office. It's an additional expense to go to a commission. And the other thing that I like, you might be happy to hear, some of you, that I'm not going to be the county clerk forever. I can only live so long. And what you have in your hands, though, is the voters can decide you can fire the elected official or not. With a commission, you do not have that opportunity, and I think that's very important.
Charlie, she went over time. I just want
30 seconds.
So just to clear up some things, I've already spoken about the BEC, but I do want to just continue to reiterate that I am an advocate for consolidation, but only if it meets the criteria that I mentioned previously. Thank you.
Okay. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. You're listening to a debate at Heartland Community College by the candidates for McLean County Clerk. Both candidates have had ethics complaints filed against them in this campaign. According to FOIAs, Kathy Michael allegedly used her work computers for political activities, and Nikita Richards allegedly visited sites aligned with Democratic Party interests and allegedly did online shopping at work. Would both candidates please explain those circumstances? And we'll start with Kathy Michael.
Well, I think this is new territory for all of us, certainly for me, and I think we have to wait and see what the next steps are. I'm very confident that I didn't do anything wrong, and I think it's just the nature of the climate that we live in right now. I've never seen anything quite like it. But I feel very confident. But again, we have a process, and that's the law, and that's what we have to do, and let's do it.
And Nikita.
Thank you, Charlie. I welcome scrutiny, and the allegations towards me are absolutely not true. They are based on misconceptions of my job responsibilities as an employment coordinator with the city of Bloomington. If you're not aware, recruitment involves shopping and purchasing promotional items. In addition, the most recent FOIA requests were issued with a very clear disclaimer that read, "Websites never visited by user also appear on this report due to certain advertising and secondary links being embedded in visited website. Not all websites listed were visited by user." But I do believe that voters and taxpayers deserve to or have the right to be concerned, especially when you and I paid $654 to retrieve data off of a county-owned laptop that Kathy Michael damaged. This is negligent and fiscally irresponsible on behalf of the clerk. We pay her salary, yet recent reports prove that my opponent's only spending 11% of her time doing the job for which we paid her for. The other 89% is spent researching me and attempting to advance her political career on your dime. The allegations against Kathy Michael were found to have merit. In fact, the McLean County Government Ethics Commission completed their investigation and turned the matter over to the state's attorney's office for an active legal investigation for what doesn't look promising for my opponent. Things don't look so promising, but as I mentioned, I am focused on voter engagement and serving this great community as your next McLean County clerk.
May I?
Your turn.
None of those figures are correct for the 11% and the 89%. And when we have an opportunity to explore those 4,785 lines on the spreadsheet, you will understand that and it will be proven. Just remember that everything you read on social media and in print isn't true. And we have great confidence in our process and in our integrity.
And 1 minute response from Nikita Richards.
Nope, facts don't lie. Thank you.
I will issue a clarification, though. Even that 11% allegation that she is spending only 11% of her time doing work is inaccurate because it was a broad statement. You should have clarified by saying that 11% was based on the FOIA of the laptop and not the entire time spent at work.
Her county-owned laptop that she is able to take and use outside of the office. You're correct. Yes, Charlie.
Okay. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Another question. The clerk's office is really all about these details, right? Who can vote? How many votes cast? All the processes that really matter in securing the vote and marriage records and so on and on and on. Allegations like these leave you both open to the question, why should the public trust you to do the job when you miss details of proper conduct in separating your personal and professional lives and leave yourself open to allegations of misuse of state-owned property or city-owned property, as the case may be? And Nikita, you're first on this one.
Actually, Charlie, there is a distinct difference between what my opponent has done and what I am being accused of doing. My investigation interview just completed, and
it's
those
still
results.
It's still an allegation against her.
Yes, it is.
She has not been proven to
accused.
Have done it.
I did say accused.
No, you said you framed it as she had been proven, and
oh,
she hasn't been proven by her.
Okay, thank you for that. So there's a big difference between what my opponent is being accused of and what I am being accused of. I actually will be, those results will be made to public soon, and I'm looking forward to that. And I believe that the public has the right to know. We are vastly, vastly different, and I am looking forward to serving this county and providing or showing them just why they should vote for me and choose me as their next McLean County Clerk.
Kathy Michael, 90 seconds.
Well, I think we actually agree on something, that we have to wait until we see these allegations to be proven or not proven. And I think everybody can also understand that this is all new territory. This is a strange new environment. You can look at it nationally and state what has now come to McLean County. And we are under much more scrutiny and probably should be. And the whole thing of what's wrong with looking at Facebook? What's not wrong with looking at Facebook? When can you look at Facebook? Can you go here? Can you go there? Maybe we should all just shut down Facebook. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm looking forward to finding out if where the lines are. I certainly didn't mean to cross any, and I don't believe I did, but we do have to go through the process.
Anybody want a response or a rebuttal on the computer usage issue, or shall we move on?
I will say that I have not crossed any lines, and as was proven, or that will be proven, a big responsibility of mine is to purchase promotional items and place ads for my positions and trying to recruit for the position. So I'm looking forward to that coming out, and that's all I'll have to say.
Kathy, you have a shot if you want it.
No, I ditto. Okay. I agree.
Both sides in this campaign have used, let's call it, overheated rhetoric. Nikita Richards, you have accused your opponent of voter suppression of the college vote and of breaking law in starting early voting late. Numerous other election jurisdictions also delayed the start of early voting because of a dispute over ballot eligibility in the Illinois Attorney General's race, and not preventing hours-long lines at college polling places is a very different thing than active voter suppression. Kathy Michael, you have accused your opponent of having a radical socialist agenda. That's a bit over the top as a description of a Democratic candidate. Please, both of you, respond to the notion that such exaggerations hurt public confidence, that you will be impartial and nonpartisan in the exercise of the duties of the office once elected. Kathy, you first.
Well, you're talking about a candidate versus the county clerk. And yes, it has been getting heated, but I think it's very important for voters to look at who the candidates are and what their background is. And I can't imagine if anybody gets offended at being called a radical socialist. I don't know that that's necessarily an insult. That's something for voters to look at and decide if that's the way they would like to go. We have Daniel Biss supporters here in the audience that that I think my opponent supported. His main running mate was a head leader of the Socialist Party. Nothing to be ashamed of there. But voters should see who they're voting for and what their beliefs are, taking the candidate away from the actual elected official.
Nikita Richards.
So the name calling has been interesting, and I have always chosen to go the high road. I will remain to choose the high road. But in regards to me making the statements about my opponent delaying early voting, that is true. I will not make any apologies for telling the truth. The state law is very clear, very, very clear, and it is 10 ILCS 5/19A that states very clearly that the period for early voting by personal appearance begins 40th day preceding a general primary, consolidated primary, or general election, and extends through the end of the day before election day. My opponent delayed early voting during the March primary of 2018. It was supposed to begin on February 8th, did not begin until February 20th. Now, however, I understand there's other counties that have delayed it. This is my point. There are laws. My job as clerk is to uphold them, not to maneuver them to fit my needs. Thank you.
1 minute response.
My opponent is grossly wrong in her assessment. I have a copy of the statute right here. I have an email from the state's attorney giving us permission to do that. It was a very unusual situation. where several counties had to make decisions at the last minute with a candidate that was on the ballot, he was off the ballot, he was on the ballot. And so some of us chose to not disenfranchise voters by possibly putting someone on the ballot that was going to be kicked off the ballot or vice versa. So in advice of our state's attorney, we decided, along with the Bloomington Election Commission and several other counties, including Cook County, to go the route that we did and delay it for a few days. My opponent said we broke the law. That is a lie.
I believe we're up for 1 minute responses if they're desired. Nikita Richards.
Again, I stated the statute, so there's no dispute of that. But let me just say, I surveyed 11 surrounding counties. Vermilion County started on time. Rock Island started early voting on time. Woodford County started early voting on time. Piatt started early voting on time. Tazewell County started early voting on time. Champaign County started early voting on time. DeWitt County started early voting on time. Logan started early voting on time. Livingston County started early voting on time. Thank you, Charlie.
Kathy Michael.
So are you saying Bloomington Election Commission broke the law?
I'm talking about the county clerk's office.
That was the question to you, madam. And I didn't bring my list of counties who did. It would probably exceed that one. They aren't quite as close. But, my opponent said it broke the law. That's a lie, and it's a defamation.
Including Cook County delayed its start.
Correct.
While there was doubt about whether the Attorney General, one Attorney General candidate, would be included on the ballot. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media. I'm Charlie Schlenker. County clerks oversee the voter registration process. How would you or do you maximize the registration part of the job? And the follow-up will involve purging of voter rolls, so you can skip that one for now. And Nikita Richards, you are first.
I'm sorry, Charlie, could you repeat the question one more time for me?
Sure. How would you maximize the voter registration process as part of the job of the clerk?
So there's one particular thing that I think we are missing, or piece that we're missing here, and that is the increase focus on increasing our election judges, the number of election judges that we have, and as well as reaching out to those current election judges that may have not served in a while. I think it would do us a great service to reach back out to them, to get them reengaged, to provide exciting and innovative training and perks for them to be involved. I think that is one of the biggest things that we can do, or measures that we can take to increase or help move along the voter registration process. We can also do great outreach on our college campuses. I am happy to have partnered with Illinois State University's College Dems, along with Illinois Wesleyan's College Dems, to increase voter outreach and voter registration drives. I'm very proud of the work that the League of Women Voters has done, even nationally. So I think if we take a look at those particular measures and increase and work closely with these community partners, that would be a good move for us.
And Kathy Michael, how do you maximize voter registration?
We have great outreach. We started it when I first came into office, and we're very well known for it with all the schools. We go to the high schools. We help them with mock elections and hold voter registrations every election cycle. We reach out to them all the time. They know to come to us. It's just a very active system, which is detailed on our very easy navigatable website that we get compliments on almost constantly. And as far as election judges, but that wasn't a part of the question, was it, Charlie?
If you like it.
It's
fine.
Just that we have an outstanding election judge program. Everyone that deals with our office knows it. We are one of the few counties, and I almost hate to say it out loud because I don't want to offend the other counties, because they all do a great job. But many of the other counties struggle to fill their election judge positions. We have a waiting list every time. We have the same judges sign up all the time. Our outreach, this is one reason why I nearly sleep with my work computer at home from 7 o'clock at night to 2 o'clock in the morning, because I'm answering emails to our election judges and keeping in contact with them. We're very proud of that program.
Are any rebuttals desired?
No, Charlie.
Okay. Is an expansive or conservative approach to purging voter rolls better to ensure the legitimacy of the voting process? So unpack how you do or you would go about the voter purging process to make sure that out-of-date registrations are off the books. And Kathy, you're first.
It's a legal process. We by law purge our voter rolls every 2 years.
And expand on how that process goes, please.
Oh, my staff is here. They could really go into details because it's very, very trays back there. It's a lot of work. You send out new cards to every registered voter. And so then they start coming back because they can't be forwarded. Like if you move to DuPage County or something, they come back to us. So then if you get hundreds, even thousands of cards of people who have moved in that two-year period, we have to investigate every single one of those cards. And it's very time-intensive, but it's the law, and we have to do it. And we have a gentleman who works with us. He is retired, and he loves genealogy, and he goes through the obituaries all the time. This might sound a little tacky, but he likes his name. We call him the Terminator. And he looks through all the voter rolls to make sure that we, you know, it sounds tacky, but it's to remove the dead people from the rolls. God bless them. But it's a very, very serious project that we take very seriously. And again, we have to by law.
Nikita Richards.
After 8 years of serving, I would think you would know that process in and out. But my suggestion for the position would be to ensure that the voter registration logs are maintenance as best as possible, including making sure that we're not purchasing ballots for those who are deceased or those individuals who have moved out of the county. So that's one way to do a couple of ways to do it, as well as making sure that when we are receiving receiving voter registration cards who have been returned to us, something I would like to implement, and I'm not quite sure how we would do that yet, but would be to reach out back to those community or to those individuals via phone call or email, maybe cross-check between DMV and other local government officials to let them know that their voter registration cards were returned.
Any responses desired on that one?
We have a very intensive cross-check operation with DMV, with the State Board of Elections, with all the contacts with all the other county clerks. When we get something from DuPage County and there's a question, we already do all those calls. We already do all the things that Ms. Richards mentioned and more.
And Nikita, you have a minute if you want it.
No, thank you.
Okay. We asked for questions at WGLT.org, and a newly graduated ISU student, Jim Joseph, said he's concerned about limited early voting prospects on campus. For example, the last 2 years, early voting was only held during spring break when students are not allowed in the dorms. The form of that suggests he was talking about primaries. A state elections board document, Joseph says, states the number and timing of early voting locations is up to the local election authority. So what can clerks do to authorize more early voting availability, and what are the trade-offs in doing so? Nikita Richards, you are first.
Well, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of the 40-day law that provides us with the early voting, but
locations.
So in regards to the ISU campus, some examples that I would like to talk about or implement would be not changing the polling places without proper or advance notice to the communities in which they are affected.
No, this is locations for early voting, not polling,
right.
not election polling places. We're going to get to that one, I promise.
And so another suggestion for ISU's campus, for example, would be to expand or invite another polling place. My biggest suggestion would be to have one near the Tri-Tower location on ISU's campus, just because of the sheer size and the complexity of the student schedule.
And Kathy Michael, trade-offs in more early voting stations.
Well, we always have more, especially in the presidential years. It's a much higher voter turnout, so we always increase those locations during the presidential years, of course. You have to keep the budget in mind, but the elections is the most important thing, and administration understands that with the budgets. About the spring break, that is very irritating. So guess what? We were mandated by law, by state law, to have early voting on campus during spring break. Now, we went ahead at our expense and added another week so that gentleman didn't have all the information there because it is hard to keep track of. So we went ahead again at an expense and added another week. And we all looked at ourselves and go, no offense to our legislators, do they look at the calendar? But, of course, all the colleges have different spring breaks. But that's why that particular one was during spring break.
Responses desired?
No.
Okay. Steve Cease of Bloomington offered this question at WGLT.org. I should preface the asking of it by noting the role of the questioner. Mr. Cease is a libertarian candidate for McLean County Board. The current clerk has interpreted state election law allowing political parties in McLean County established party status if a statewide candidate receives 5% of the vote in McLean County, even if that candidate does not receive 5% statewide. Some clerks in other counties have not interpreted law this way, and the State Board of Elections, Cease alleges, has told clerks it's a judgment call by the county clerk. How would you interpret ballot access law if this situation were to arise again? Kathy Michael, you have first crack at this.
Well, I was very happy to be able to add the Libertarian Party. I actually think the more parties that we can add legally, the better, because the more opportunities that voters have for choice, the better it is than the two standard parties that we've had for years. God love them both. So I'm all for whenever legal, whenever these parties try to reach out and get more people involved, let's add them to the ballots so the voters can have a choice.
But the 5% standard, he implies that's optional.
Well, I think, again, you have to look at the law, and again, Charlie, you know this too. When you start reading statutes, it sometimes can, that's why we need lawyers, and that's why they stay in business. But we interpret that, and then we get an opinion from our state's attorney. And I lean the way, if the law permits, you know, some of the counties didn't do what we did, some did. And I lean toward giving the voters the opportunity for choice. And if it's legal, we're going to do it.
Okay. Nikita Richards, you have 90 seconds on interpreting ballot access law to include third parties as established parties or not.
In regards to that, Charlie, I would have to rely on the interpretation and the assistance from the State Board of Election, but I do welcome the expansion to the political process to all. I believe that falls right into place with my platform for inclusion.
I'm Charlie Schlenker. You're listening to a debate between the candidates for McLean County Clerk, incumbent Republican Kathy Michael, and challenger Democrat Nikita Richards. This is Sound Ideas on Bloomington Normal's only locally owned and operated broadcast media outlet. Jeremy Tang of Normal asked at WGLT.org, how are you going to ensure that disenfranchised groups have the proper resources to vote? And Nikita, you go first.
This is one of my favorite questions because I do consider myself an advocate. I believe that face-to-face contact with constituents is extremely important as I've traveled this great county, the largest county in Illinois. I'm frequently met with people who tell me all the time that they have never met a political candidate or any elected official that's taken the time to come to their door, so they thank me for that. I will be a present and working clerk. I have gone to every corner of this county, and I've enjoyed it. I've performed weekly outreach at churches for the past several weeks and have visited towns like Lexington, Towanda, Shenoa, Hudson, Stanford, Danvers, Downs, Saybrook, Leroy, and so many others just to listen to their concerns. I will work alongside this community to install satellite early voting locations in the smaller communities and, as I mentioned previously, that mobile vital records program. That is a big piece of making sure that people are not disenfranchised. The rural communities are underserved, and we need to take a look at that. I'm looking forward to improving the county clerk's website again, as I mentioned to you, and making sure that we are that the clerk's office is having a presence in the schools as well, making sure that our young people are involved in the governmental process. It's so important. So I look forward to the opportunities to work with our high schools and our colleges as I proceed with inclusion and innovation.
Kathy Michael, disenfranchised groups, resources to vote.
Well, again, we are well known for anyone who knows our office. I've lived here all my life, grew up in Lexington, know every nook and cranny and every gravel road in this county, and turned on most of them when I least expected it. Visiting the people out there from churches to townships, anyone that calls me, you can verify this with any township supervisor, Democrat or Republican, any mayor, Democrat or Republican, any church where we've just done the outreach to find out if they need vital records services, they do not. And so there's no sense in spending and wasting taxpayer dollars just to create something that's not needed. The disenfranchised groups, we represent and have polling places in every single area by law. And every minority group is represented, and I would challenge anybody to prove otherwise.
I'm going to bet that neither of you really want a rebuttal on that. Am I right?
I actually just have one.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Go for it.
I think it's important that we reevaluate the polling places or the lack thereof. There has been community pushback for having polling places within police stations. There's also a disproportionate number of polling places throughout Bloomington and the west side of town in comparison to that of Normal. I would also suggest that we take a look at our non-ADA compliant polling places because we do have some. Those serve as hindrance for persons with disabilities. Unlike the BEC, as I mentioned previously, the clerk's office has not had or at that time as I looked into this, had not had the ADA compliance survey completed by LifeSales. I think about Miss Edith, a sight-impaired Normal resident who eagerly shared her story with me about her disappointment and embarrassment caused by her experience at the polls when she encountered missing cane detection features, faulty equipment, and staff who were less than helpful. This is how we disenfranchise voters, and I definitely want to take a look and see how we can not do that and stop and improve the process in our services.
And 1 minute to you, Kathy Michael.
Where was that polling place location?
It was in Normal.
Oh, was it?
Yes, it was.
We never had that reported to us, and our election judges, who are very thorough, have a comment form that they fill out, and they're very honest, and they can do it anonymously. Never had that complaint. I'm not saying that that didn't happen to that lady. Sometimes things happen with malfunctioning, but to say election judges aren't helpful is a lie.
I did not say that.
Also, to say that... It was very confusing what she was saying because you were talking about the west side of Bloomington, that things weren't ADA compliant. All of our places are accessible and ADA compliant. You mentioned the west side of Bloomington. Of course, that's BEC, not us.
Okay, I promise to get to this. Changing the location of a polling place is a decision fraught with danger for every county clerk. It can muck up your process because people get used to going to the same place every time. It can have unintended consequences due to the ability or inability of people to transport themselves to a polling place. Yet sometimes it's warranted and necessary because of changing community residential patterns. This, of course, has been an issue within the last several years. Please tell us how you would or you do go about assessing the need for a change in polling places and how to place the voting stations. Kathy Michael, you're first.
We can't move polling places without county board approval. The only time we change a polling place is when it is requested or a building shuts down. It would be against the law for us to do that. I can only think of a couple in the last 8 years that we've even been involved with. One was, of course, some schools that are nearby. For security reasons, unfortunately, with the climate in which we live, the schools are very concerned about that, and they were great locations. So just down the road here, and you take a right, we moved with the approval of the county board those two school locations to Heartland. It's just a fabulous move, and it worked out well for everybody on the Connect Transit routes, free cab rides by Checker Cab, and it's worked out very well. Then the only other move was we had to found out at the last minute that a church building had been shut down and closed by the bank, and we had to go to the county board very quickly, we all drove around and got a hold of the election judges and said, what's close that won't disenfranchise those voters in that area? And we found a great location just 0.2 miles away from the current location, also on a bus route, and again with free cab rides for election day.
And Nikita Richards, 90 seconds on your take on how to place voting stations and when to change them.
I think you need to change them when necessary. However, I believe that as a part of removing or changing polling places, the community needs to be informed in advance and properly. That was not always the case. And so I understand you can't always foresee changes. Things happened. But again, I believe that with effective communication from the clerk's office, people will have less worry and concern, and they won't feel as slighted as they have previously when the polling places were removed or consolidated into the Heartland Community College campus here. This college campus can be very difficult for those who have never navigated a college campus before. Yes, there is a bus line, but I have taken the bus and realized that from the current government center and realized that it takes two buses to get to this location from certain parts of the community. It is very difficult. One of my biggest suggestions would be to secure polling places 2 years in advance and then have a plan in place to confirm the placement of those polling places. I'm looking at 6 months, 3 months, and then as we get closer to election, making sure that you confirm at least 1 month out. Thank you.
And we have run out of time for questions and responses. And now we go to two-minute closing statements. And Kathy Michael, you went second for opening statements. You can lead off for closings.
Thank you again to our hosts for this opportunity and for all of you for attending and your questions. I have faith because of the daily compliments our office gets that McLean County voters know we have run a very efficient and honest office. As I've mentioned, we've conducted 13 elections with little to no problems and absolutely no allegations of voter suppression, minority disenfranchisement, or breaking of any laws as stated repeatedly by my opponent from the day she announced her candidacy well over a year ago. Our election judges, hundreds of them, come back year after year wanting to work with us. The lies that are being spread trying to destroy my reputation and that of my office are insulting to my staff, our election judges, and the voters. Had I done all the things I've been accused of by my opponent, there would be a revolt on my hands. Instead of having a wait list for judges each election, we would be scrambling to fill seats. My staff, who are all here tonight, under no pressure at all to do so, would have fled years ago because each one is a good, honest person. My staff and election judges are made up of all races and creeds. They represent differing political parties, having prior military service, are members of the LGBTQ community. None of us judge. We just want to continue to do our job for you and do it well. I need your vote to stay in office as county clerk, and I ask for your vote on November 6th. Thank you.
And Nikita Richards, 2 minutes for your closing remarks.
I actually look forward to working with the current staff. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you to the League of Women Voters and WGOT for giving me the invaluable opportunity to speak to voters. Let me leave you with this pledge: to uphold the law, improve administrative procedures, and follow our state statutes, as I've done so time and time again. As your clerk, I will provide or protect voter information, the legitimacy of our democracy, and our basic civil right to vote. As your clerk, I'll stand up and fight for disenfranchised voters. I'll fight against the unnecessary closure and consolidation of polling places. I'll save taxpayer dollars, decrease my privileges, and serve with integrity and transparency. I will listen to my constituents, promote community awareness of voting services, and provide inclusive outreach as I serve constituents from the West Side to our rural communities. I have been endorsed by the Bloomington and Normal Trades and Labor Assembly, the Central Labor Council for McLean County, the Livingston and McLean Counties Building and Construction, Illinois Democratic Chairs Association, College Democrats of Illinois, Congresswoman Sherry Bustos, State Senator Daniel Biss, and our United States Senator Dick Durbin, among others. This November 6th, I encourage you to turn out to the polls and cast your vote for me, Nikita Richards, for McLean County Clerk. Thank you all for coming out, and I look forward to November 6th.
Thank you, candidates, for participating in this on-location edition of Sound Ideas and McLean County Clerk Candidates Debate, co-sponsored with the McLean County League of Women Voters and GLT. Thanks to Heartland Community College for providing the venue for this event. WGLT.org is where you can find this episode of Sound Ideas with help from Operation Coordinator Travis Metters, Events and Outreach Director Linda Healy, Digital Director Ryan Denham, Program Director Mike McCurdy, Development Director Melissa Liebert, reporters Brianna Groh, Mary Cullen, and Eric Stock, and our timekeepers from the League of Women Voters, Becky Hines and Becky Gropp. Our next debate is October 10th at 6 p.m. at the University Galleries in Uptown Normal. State Representative Dan Brady and challenger Ben Webb will participate. You can submit questions for them at WGLT.org. I'm Charlie Schlenker. The election is November 6th. Early voting is happening now, so go and vote. Thanks to you for attending and listening. This is WGLT Normal, a service of Illinois State University's School of Communication.